Our scripture today comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He was in prison at the time, and he is assuring the Gentiles that they are part of Christ's religion and family. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, and it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety may now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. There are two stories of the birth of Christ given to us in the New Testament, one from Luke and then one from Matthew. Luke, the Gentile who wrote, tells us about the shepherds who came to visit the baby Jesus. Matthew tells us, the Jew tells us about the non-Jews, the Magi, who come to visit. And this is the story of their visit. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go also and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Wednesday, in the church calendar, is known as the Day of Epiphany. The day that we celebrate the Magi, the wise men, coming to visit Jesus. When we think of the word epiphany, though, we think of all of a sudden everything becoming clear. This, you know, it's like a light bulb that goes off in your head, and all of a sudden the fog is lifted and the mystery has been solved. And when the epiphany happens, we were able to reinterpret all the things that have gone before it and to rethink the ways that we want to go in the future. And it really, it's that moment of clarity. Paul speaks of that in the message we heard from Ephesians. That the mystery of God's plan for creation, the mystery of God's salvation, has been revealed to us now in Christ. And here lies the key to the work that God is doing in the world. And Matthew kind of alludes to this also with the coming of the wise men, the Magi. So who are these Magi that we talk about? We don't know a lot about them. Most scholars believe they came from Persia, Iran, modern-day Iran. And they were perhaps priests. And they were somewhat non-Jewish, most likely, and a cross between, or a combination of astronomers and astrologists. They studied the stars. And they saw a star. And they recognized that this star had special significance. How did they know this? I have a theory. I think the prophet Daniel, who had been taken away in exile from Judah and taken to Babylon, and we have an Old Testament book written by him. I think Daniel had wrote about this star and this king of the Jews that was to come. And we don't have that copy anymore. It's gotten lost somewhere. But these wise men, these magi, they had it. And they had read it. And so they were expecting it. And they were looking for it. And when they saw it, they knew the significance of it. And so they packed up and they traveled 1,000 miles to come see this newborn king. Now think of that, 1,000 miles. That would be pretty much the equivalent of traveling from here to Orlando, Florida, without a car, not by flying. However they traveled in those days, walking or riding on camel or donkey or whatever, however they did it, 1,000 miles one way. You don't measure that trip in hours or days. You measure it in months. And for the round trip, it probably was somewhere near a year. Quite a commitment. Saw that star and they knew that it held significance, that the king of the Jews had been born. Now I suspect there were kings being born all over the world at that time, but they knew that this one particularly had significance, enough significance that they would pack up expensive gifts and take a year of their life to go visit it. I wonder what that trip was like, that journey was like. How many were there? We tend to think there were 3 because of the 3 gifts. But my guess is there were probably more than that. I can't imagine traveling in a caravan of 3 for a year. Probably many more. I wonder what they talked about as they went. Did they have any idea of what this Jesus they were going to see was like? Did they think that he would be the king that would overthrow the Romans and create a new empire? We don't know. The only clues we have into what they may have been thinking were the gifts that they brought: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we, with our 2020 hindsight, maybe have a better idea than what they had. But we recognize that gold is the gift for kings. And we acknowledge that Jesus is king. Frankincense is an incense that was used by priests while making the sacrifices. And we know that Jesus is the great high priest. Myrrh is a spice that would be used in the burial rituals. And we know that Christ's death had great significance. Did these magi, did they have any clue as to the significance of these gifts? We don't know. But as they made their journey, I wonder what obstacles they encountered. Were there weather problems, sandstorms or other related storms? Was there sickness? Did they get lost? Did they have fights? Did they have people leave? Did they run out of food? We don't know. But a year-long journey would certainly have its fair share of problems. They went to Jerusalem first. Logical place to go. It's the capital city of the Jews. King Herod lived there. Surely this new king was an offspring of Herod the Great, who, by the way, was not Jewish. And so they go to Jerusalem asking about the newborn king, little knowing that they were creating quite a firestorm. For when Herod hears of this, he's very upset. He's feeling threatened. And Herod doesn't do well when feeling threatened. He was known to have killed some of his sons and one of his wives because he felt threatened by them. So Herod hears of this newborn king and these men that are seeking him, and he goes to the Jewish scholars and says, "What's going on here? Where's the Messiah supposed to come from?" "Well, the prophets say Bethlehem." So Herod meets with them and says, "Go on to Bethlehem and find him and come back and let me know, because I want to worship him too. I want to worship him real good." So we're told that the star led them from Jerusalem, just a few short miles away, to Bethlehem. And there they found Jesus. My guess is by this time he's no longer the baby Jesus, but the toddler Jesus. And they offer their gifts. And then they had the dream saying, "Don't go back to Herod, go another way home." And so they go, thus giving Mary and Joseph and Jesus the opportunity to escape, to flee for their lives and become refugees in Egypt. I bet Jesus identifies with the refugees that we see in the world today, that refugee crisis we have in Europe and the Middle East. Don't you think Jesus would identify with that? I suspect some of Jesus' earliest memories were being in Egypt as a refugee. So what does all this mean for us? What do we learn from these guys? I think what we learn is they were looking for the star. They were looking for the sign. They were looking for the light. And when they saw it, they understood its significance. And then third, they were willing to make the commitment. Commitment of time, talent, and treasure to go and visit this newborn king. I believe the Christian life to be a journey. A journey where God is leading and guiding us where we need to be going, and there are bumps and curves and obstacles in the road, just like there were for those Magi that traveled to see to Bethlehem. And I wonder, do we have a star or a light that is guiding us where we need to go? The Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. Are we following that light? We all have our own individual journeys. You can trace back throughout your life and see how God has worked and moved and placed you in certain places and done certain things in and through you. But also, as a church, we together make up the church. And we as a church are on a journey. And the star that we hold before us, or the light that we hold before us, is our purpose statement of living and loving like Christ. And this is the goal. But in order to live and love like Christ, you need to recognize that we're looking for that, and then also understand what that means, and then be willing to make that commitment to follow it wherever it leads us. And I would suggest to you that we need to be growing in our faith. And that comes through Christian education. And Christian education is not just for the little children. It's from the very youngest in our church to the very oldest, because we all need to be growing in our faith. And we don't grow in our faith for just faith itself. We grow in our faith so that we might know and love God better, but also we grow in our faith so that God might use us for God's purposes, for the building of God's kingdom, for ministry and mission. And to be able to understand God's call for our lives, or understand the ministry and the work that God is calling us to do, we need to be actively growing in our faith, seeking God out, understanding what God is calling us to do. And I think that comes through that Christian education. So we need to be praying for guidance and God's leading. Later this month, our session is going on a retreat, planning and hoping to develop goals that we as a church need to be taking to help us follow that light of living and loving like Christ, and how we might live that out in our world and in our community. And so we ask for your prayers that we might have wisdom and guidance in these matters. We ask for your suggestions. Where do you think our church needs to be going, and how should we be getting there? Because we are on a journey, and we're on a journey together for at least as long as God has us together. And God is calling us to be his church in this place. That's our journey. And we have wisdom and understanding and a commitment to follow that where God leads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the story of the wise men and what we can learn from them. Be with us on our journey, that we might be your people in this place, that we might be faithful in serving you, and that we might be guided by Jesus in the ways that he lived and the ways that he taught his followers. We pray this in his name. Amen.